think of our founding fathers, and we think have to look way back to that time. Nnamdi is a person from Nigeria, from the south of Nigeria, which is also known as Biafra. And when he went to the UK, attended school, went back, he realized there's a tremendous need and an opportunity to talk about what could happen if Biafra is separated from northern Nigeria. And I think as a result, actually, of the last show we had and interviews that we did after that, he's now gone around the world and continues to go around the world spreading this message. And I think that's one of the things I want to hear from Nnamdi is I want to get an update on what's happening, because we read about ISIS and we read about what's happening up there. But there's a tremendous battle for freedom that is going on in Nigeria, and we're not getting coverage of that.
Before we get serious again, it just dawned on me. So Jeannie gets to travel around the world. Nnamdi, you said a little bit from our show, he travels around the world. I never get to travel anywhere.
You have a microphone that goes around the world.
A big trip for me is Redondo Beach or something like that. Nnamdi, welcome back to the Mark Eisler Show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Mark, and thanks, Terry, once again. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's great to hear your voice. And Terry, answer Terry's question.
Yes, Terry. I got to what Terry said, actually. I've been moving to a lot of places. I've been to Norway, to Sweden, to Spain, to Indonesia, to Malaysia, spreading the same message, the need for our people to come together to be free. And what's actually struck me during my travels is the level of enthusiasm, the level of hope I can see in the eyes of the people, their yearning for freedom. Even those who weren't born during the period of the war, how enthusiastically they're all yearning to be free, because everybody understands, including the president of Nigeria, that things are not working out at all, and everybody wishes to be free and to be left alone.
Now, are you saying Nigerians don't have freedom normally?
There is no freedom in Nigeria in any way, shape, or form. The judiciary, as most of you learned people may have gathered in recent times, is quite corrupt. It's the most corrupt judiciary in the world. The press is not free. The flight of wealth from the country in terms of stolen funds, making their ways into European banks and all the rest of it, is just all the newspapers are replete with all the stories of these people stealing from the poor masses. There is no electricity for those who do not know Nigeria very well. There is no running water. It may come to most people as a surprise, but it is the fact. There's no running water. The schools have virtually broken down. The infrastructure is entirely non-existent. In Biafra land, where I come from, and millions of other people, there is no viable industry that employs up to 50 people.
This is amazing and new to me. Before we go on, Terry, how did you meet Nnamdi?
Well, we have a member of our congregation who is from Nigeria, and repeatedly he was talking about what was happening. And when Ike, one of the representatives here in the United States that is also working with Nnamdi to try and create more awareness, because I think one of the things that I've come to realize, and I have, as a result of having columns and interviewing Nnamdi, I have people from Biafra all over the world who write me and want me to be on Facebook together because there's a passion for freedom. I think it takes somebody who doesn't have it.
Oh, yes.
To realize.
I've said that years. Our own people take it for granted.
We take it for granted. Yeah. And I found in Nnamdi, and when I first met him, he has a message to get out. And I don't think, Nnamdi, if you could share just a little bit about the history of this, because from the very beginning, even our ambassador from the United States to Nigeria has confided that the way this was set up in Nigeria was really set up for conflict and not for opportunity for Biafra. Tell our listeners a little bit more about that history side.
The fact of the matter is that the British came, the same way that they came to the United States of America. They colonized our people. But they did one thing that is fundamentally flawed. What they did was to try to combine various irreconcilably different, diverse, very, very diverse cultures, traditions, and religion. I'll give you a very simple example. We in Biafra, we are predominantly Christians, Judeo-Christian, so to speak, because some practice Judaism of some sort, and others practice Christianity in this correct form in terms of the New Testament and all that it entails. Now, if you come, I have never come across any country in the world. For example, in the USA, what you have is a value system that is basically Greco-Roman Christian Judeo. That is the American way of life. That is what the entire American Constitution is predicated upon. If you come to Nigeria, that is not the case. The culture of the Yoruba people, the culture of the Igbo people or the Biafrans, the culture of the Hausa, Fulani, predominantly, in fact, 100% Islamic. Is not something that we were aware of. My ancestors never knew about these people. We never knew who they are. As I said previously, it's just like transplanting a part of Afghanistan and putting it somewhere in Texas. Can you just begin to imagine that? So in 1914, this very dastardly experiment was carried out. Every norm, every organic structure of a state, which is how states emerge, states can only emerge out of two ways, by coalescing of the same value system together into a particular geopolitical space that over time will give rise to a nation or through conquest. Had the British conquered Biafra land and maintained their governance or their dominance or their, you know, their regime, there would be no problem. That is acceptable. That is the fact of life. Civilization have always come through conquest. We accept that because we are civilized people. What they did was to conquer Biafra and then hand over Biafra to Islam. Not just any moderate Islam, but the worst kind, the worst strand or the worst strain of Sunni Wahhabist tendency that manifests itself as Boko Haram. And it's not just Boko Haram. Before Boko Haram, there was a group called Maitasine. So the killing of Biafrans started since 1945. The amalgamation of these diverse cultures into one geopolitical entity called Nigeria is the foundational basis of every problem you have bedeviling that place today.
It reminds me, Terry, you know, whether it's Pakistan or what we created after the war. I mean, these artificial countries or boundaries, and we created such chaos in so many ways. One of the things I wanted to ask you, Nnamdi, someone close to me, I won't mention who it is, we discuss these things all the time, and he thinks America is the problem often. And you would describe, I think, it differently, that the free enterprise system, let me address yourself to that, the ability to have a free enterprise system goes along with liberty.
It does, and we are, quite interestingly, we are the only people, Biafrans are the only people who are true libertarians in the whole of Africa. Huh. It may sound to most people in the West as a surprise, but that is a fact of life. We believe in absolute liberty, we believe in free trade, we've been practicing free trade for thousands upon thousands of years. The closest that the American value system, or the British for that matter, can find any resonance in Africa is in Biafra land. So why there is no urgency on the part of the politicians and the public figures in the Western world to support the quest for Biafra independence is beyond me. Why was it possible for them to still line up and say, hey, Bosnia-Herzegovina must be free? Why is a Muslim enclave within a predominantly Christian country allowed to be free when a Christian country within being suffocated by Islamic fundamentalism not allowed to be free? That is something I don't understand. I don't know if the whole world has gone Islamic. Somebody needs to tell me because I don't know. Uh-huh. I don't know what is happening. What is the difference between Bosnia-Herzegovina in the former Yugoslavia and then Serbia and Biafra land?
Yeah.
Why should this injustice be allowed to continue?
And of course, you have a president who is always defending Islam, and he thinks he knows what the religion is about, and he doesn't even recognize radical Islam, right? I was kidding around. I tweeted about they're going to call the last guy workplace violence. Of course, they did call it workplace violence. I mean, it's never this radical strain that wants to take over. Have a new caliphate, and who knows where they go from there. And you guys just want your freedom, and you're surprised that you don't get support from the United States. Well, doesn't surprise you, Terry, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I think there's a real problem, and that is the media shines a light on a place. And right now, the crisis with ISIS is the immediate crisis. And as a result of that, the media doesn't even go into Nigeria. It doesn't even know the reality of what is happening. The UN has actually taken a stand for the independence of indigenous people, which would be to the support of Biafra's independence. But you can't get the focus that gets people to...
We're in trouble when the UN is the United States. Oh, my God. What's your website? We're going to keep you on for another segment. Where can people get in touch with you, Nnamdi?
It's www.radiobiafra.co, radiobiafra.co.
Thank you so much. And hold on. We're going to continue with Nnamdi and Terry as we talk about a new country we should be supporting, the country of Biafra, on the Mark Eisler Show. If you need help, your hope dangling by a string, of sharing your suffering to make you well, to make you well. Give me reasons to believe that you would do the same for me. AM 870, The Answer. Here's my book review of My Voice Will Go With You by Sidney Rosen. Psychiatrist Milton Erickson is regarded as the father of neuro-linguistic programming. This book is a collection of short stories he told clients who were in a trance state as a means of reprogramming their thinking about a problem they brought to him. Erickson believed that stories heard and then forgotten have the most power over future actions. That's because once the conscious, censoring mind has ceased analyzing the experience, the persistent memory of the story can percolate in the unconscious. The book illustrates vividly the power of a story to transform thinking and behavior immediately. The accompanying commentary by author Sidney Rosen tells why each story is effective in changing behavior. My voice will go with you. I sincerely hope it does. For Boy Chick Lit, I'm Gerald Everett Jones. My new humorous novel, Christmas Karma, will be released in paperback and Kindle on November 8th. And you can find these audio clips on boychicklit.com.
Our elected officials have failed us. Thousands of jobs have left California. Schools are failing. Bills passed by incumbents are simply payback to the big special interest. Fight back. Let's establish school choice with funding following the student and turn all of California into an enterprise zone. Vote Stephen Smith for State Assembly. Learn more at smithforliberty.com. Together we can make the Golden State golden again. My name is Stephen Smith, and I approve this message.
News, politics, and entertainment. The Mark Eisler Show. AM 870. The Answer.
Nnamdi Kanu is my guest from Biafra, and we're all, you may be a big fan. Do I get a T-shirt, Nnamdi? No. You don't have a T-shirt or anything?
Radio Biafra. They don't have a T-shirt. Yeah. Do you have a T-shirt, Nnamdi?
Yes, we do. We do, yes.
See, he does.
Well, see, he deserves one. Well, you got to get one tomorrow.
Wait a second. Six of you came here last time. I didn't get a T-shirt?
I'll make sure all people here send some down to you.
Okay, I need a T-shirt saying that. We have one of our callers would like to ask you a question. So, Tom, you're on.
Hello there, Mark.
Hi.
This is a sad story, and Mark, as you said, under President Obama, there's probably zero chance of any help for any nation. God, we can hardly even fight ISIS. I was going to ask Nnamdi, it's so sad to hear your story, and your yearning for freedom is so admirable. What specific steps, if there were a country like the U.S., say under Reagan, or in the future if we get a Republican in 2016, what specific step-by-step plan could you envision, with details if possible, to try to bring Biafra to the level of at least a minimally functioning free country with free enterprise and some kind of a system of jobs and infrastructure? I don't know if my question makes sense. I hope it does.
It's a good question, Tom. Yeah.
It does make sense to me. It's a very good question, as Mark said. What we expect any future government in the U.S. to do, because we know that Obama cannot help us, that is a matter of fact, is to try and ensure, first of all, that the very basic fundamentals that should underpin any civilized society is in place, which is they come and do exactly what the Scottish people do, to insist on a referendum to be conducted to ascertain the level of preparedness of the people to go their separate ways, because we mustn't lose sight of this very fact that Nigeria as a country is an artificial creation, in the sense there is no indigenous or homogeneous people known as Nigerians. What we expect the world to do, and any government in the U.S., is to go the Scottish way. We must have a referendum. That is number one, because we are civilized people and we believe in democracy. That is one way to go. Another thing that must happen is that the American government should prevail on any Nigerian administration to allow us to utilize our seaports that are very close to where we come from. Can you imagine somebody living in Texas having to have all their imported goods come from New York, that you then have to go by road to bring it into Texas? Does that make any sense to anyone? The same thing is happening where we come from. So there is a kind of an economic apartheid, so to speak. I'm not allowed to use my seaport, which is just about 5 kilometers away from me. I have to travel all the way, nearly 800 miles, to go to Lagos to go and bring in my goods. Things are not happening. If you bring in any machinery into Biafra land, it will not go past the seaport. If you like, we can try tomorrow morning. If you bring in any equipment to equip any factory to refurbish it, any place, any company that employs more than 50 people will be shut down. Hmm. It doesn't exist in Biafra land. It doesn't.
Yeah. And so that be not, of course, the Scottish people didn't vote to secede, but as you point out, you deserve the opportunity. And to have something imposed upon you is supposedly everything we're against.
That's correct.
Yeah. I appreciate your call, Tom. Does that kind of answer your question?
It gives me a little hope, Mark, and let's just pray that in 2016, maybe there'll be a rapid reversal in the country and the presidency and the attitude, and maybe there is some hope that these poor people will get a shot at democracy.
Yeah, wow. And freedom, I mean.
And freedom, exactly.
Because sometimes, like with the Brotherhood in Egypt, you get to vote, you have democracy one time, and then you don't get to vote again necessarily. It's liberty that we have to talk about around the world, not even democracy.
Yeah, liberty with a value system that respects people's rights, and that's a tough one.
Namdi, we only have a couple of minutes left, so say once again, say your website or where people can get in touch with you.
Yeah, it is www.radiobiafra.co, radiobiafra.co.
Yeah.
I would ask one other thing, and just and I know we have a brief time, but I have been very impressed, Namdi, of just the quality of Biafrans that now live around the world.
Yes.
And their capacity, it sounds a lot like Israel in the sense of when Israel was finally a state, how many came home? And you must have a feel for that when you travel around and you're on radio shows and talking to people. Give us a sense of what anticipation is out there.
It's for most of them, it will be like the second coming of Christ or the coming of the kingdom of heaven, literally. Because, as you quite rightly pointed out, we have a lot of very learned middle-class Biafrans all over the world. We are not in any way envisaging that each and every one of them will come home, but having a place you can call home where you can go to, especially, you know, if we use Israel as an example, what we are looking to do is to replicate exactly what happened in Israel, because all the variables are at play. All the forces that prevailed or attempted to prevail against the coming of Israel are at play once again in Biafra, and we intend to overcome that. Our people will come home, that is true. We are going to have a civilized, orderly society, nothing that has ever been seen in Africa before. That is for sure, because we are very hardworking, we are God-fearing, we are libertarians, natural libertarians. We believe in laissez-faire economics, we believe in open trade with anyone that comes to us, and it's a tradition that we intend to carry on. But doing it under Islamic rule, under a caliphate sponsored by Arabs, through Hausa Fulani people supported by the British, is a no-go area for us.
I just got to say one thing, and that is, we have to read about our founding fathers. I honestly believe years from now, the work you've been putting into this freedom, you're going to be known as one of those founding fathers for your organization, and it's an honor to have you on this show and to be able to get to know you and the work you're doing. Carry on.
Yeah, no, we all feel that way, I'm sure. Those you wish our country supported the obvious things, whether it's the Kurds or the Biafrans, the people who care about liberty and freedom. It almost breaks your heart. I mean, you know, this should be a no-brainer. Namdi, I second what Terry said. It's a pleasure to get to know you through Terry and all the great work you're doing out there. There's a special place in heaven for those people who care so much about liberty. So thanks for being with us on the show.
Thank you very much, Mark, and thank you very much, Terry. It's a pleasure for me as well.
Yeah.
An honor, indeed.
And yeah, you're honored, but don't forget the T-shirt in February.
I'll get it out to you. Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you
so much. Radio Free Biafra, right?
Yeah. Radio Biafra.
Great. I'll be off on the Mark Eisler Show.